Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward through the Word of God. And it is a great word this morning. We are still in Chronicles, and we got some begots and some movings and all those things, but we are also in the book of Acts, chapter 5. And the one thing that I chapter 5 is, one, don't try stealing from God. If you say you're going to do something for God, you better do it, because you sure can't cheat him. And the one thing that I also learned is that we must pray. We got to push. We got to pray until something happens, family, because the enemy is busy, but we got to trust God. So many times we give the devil and his minions more credit than they are due. And so we are like, the devil's just too busy. I just said it. But I need to say, God is on the job, and he is on the job for me. He's on the job for you, because why? He loves us like that. We are blessed beyond measure to be sons and daughters of God, and we have to pray. And as I was reading the word this morning, it stuck out to me that, you know, when Peter, they had such faith. They didn't allow anything to knock them off their square. They're like, we got work to do. We got work to do for God. And they went to work. And they didn't play. To jail. And the angel of the Lord came over the door and said, go on and preach. Go on back to Solomon's porch and do what you got to do. You cannot touch God's anointed. And you definitely better leave their prophets alone. Leave his prophets alone. I was just amazed. And I know that many of you were not able to come on yesterday live. And I got cut off because I was earlier than my normal time. Instead of being on Central Time, I was on Eastern Time. And the show is set to do this time every day, except for Saturday. So it kind of threw it off and it cut me off. But I just want to kind of do a quick overview of chapter 4 of the book of Acts, because it was so rich. Chapter 3 and 4 were so rich yesterday, that I just want to share a few things, the life lessons with you. But first, we're going to pray, and we're going to go for it. Father God in heaven, we are thankful. We are grateful this morning, and we are blessed to be your children. We pray your day was wonderful, Lord God, for you are the best father any of us could ever have. I thank you, Father, for the traveling grace and mercy you bestowed on my sons and I on yesterday as we traveled the highway and the byways to be where we needed to be on yesterday to celebrate Father's Day with my sons and their grandfather. But you took their father home, Lord God. You are their father. You're my father. You're our father. But I thank you for the earthly father, grandfather, that you have given my children, a wonderful man of God. Father God, I thank you for your grace and your mercy and your goodness and your kindness toward us as we travel, oh God. Not one problem or issue, or we can say it's thank you for your angels of mercy and grace. Lord, I pray that every father had a wonderful day on yesterday. And I pray, Lord, that this week will be a great week for all of us, that blessings upon blessings are flowing, oh God, towards your children. I'm believing you, Lord, for signs of miracles and wonders. For those that need a home, Lord, you're going to send them to the right place for them. For those that are needing transportation, you're going to give them what they need as far as a vehicle. And if it is not a vehicle, Lord, you would give them access to buses, trains, and planes. Hallelujah. And Lord God, if they need a shelter, food, whatever it may be, Lord, I'm believing you for taking care of the basics, the basic needs of all of your children, that not one will go hungry, oh God. I'm thanking you for my church and my church body and those that work at the Hope, at Hope, Lord God, where we are packing bags and giving food to those that are hungry, Lord God. But your word says, when I was hungry, you fed me. Lord God, we are feeding the hungry. And we're asking you, Lord, to continue to give us the resources we need to fill backpacks, to fill totes, to feed families for a week. Lord God, I ask your blessings over the Table of Life Ministries and what they are doing for the community. Lord God, bless Pastor Paul and Pastor Jesse. Bless my pastors, oh God. But you know Pastor Jesse's heart. You know how much she loves your people and doing what you have called her to do. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for her heart and her love for you and your people. Keep them, she and Pastor Paul, covered as they travel the highways and byways this week. May their sabbatical be a great one, Lord God, but they are deserving. Bless them and watch over them, Lord God, and keep them covered by the blood of Jesus, and may the angels of grace and mercy travel with them as they go on their sabbatical. And Lord God, I pray that you continue giving me words to speak through your Holy Bible, and let me speak what you speak. Remove all flesh, Father God. As you increase, I pray for decrease. In Jesus' name, amen. Giving honor to God in that this word that goes forth is his word, not mine. But I am just a humble servant of the Lord, a willing worker to do the will of God. But a few overview through life lessons of yesterday's word for those that were not able to join us. The first is Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. And this is referenced the man who had been standing at the gate of Beautiful for 40 years and couldn't walk, born lame. But by God, by the word, by the name of Jesus Christ, he was Peter and John said, I don't have any money for you, but I do have something that I think you'll like even more. And he said, we may not have riches or political influence, as Dr. Stanley says, or many other things that the world craves, but we do have the Spirit of the Lord living within us, and we can always give away Jesus while still keeping him. Hallelujah. We can give away Jesus and still have him for ourselves. Acts 3 and 12, why look so intently as though by our own power, our godliness, we have made this man walk? Peter had to tell him straight. We didn't do anything. All we called on was the name of Jesus. It says no matter how greatly the Lord may choose to use us, we must be careful to let people know that God is the one at work within us. He accomplishes whatever good things might occur through us. Come on now. We got to give credit where credit is due. I tell you now, Bridget would be asleep But God woke me up. Come on now. I give God the honor and the glory because I just knew I was sleeping in this morning and God woke me up and said, it's time to go to work. And so I am on my post where I have been called to be because God is in charge, not me. Hallelujah. And then it goes on to say in Acts 3:19, repent, therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that time of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Who does not need times of refreshing? I was just speaking in prayer for my pastors. They're going on a small sabbatical this week, just some time away to refresh and renew. We all need that. Even though I was only for just a small weekend getaway, it was a time of refreshing and renewing, just hanging out with my boys. It was great, and it was wonderful. Yes, it was tiring because we did a lot of driving in a little bit of time. But God, that's all I can say is, but God. In Acts 3:19, repent, therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Who does not need times of refreshing, as Dr. Stanley says? Who does not need a new start, a spiritual renewal, a fresh touch of God on their life? All these things come through an intimate relationship with the Lord. Praise God. Continue in our words. Just some life lessons from yesterday's lesson. And it says in Acts 4:12, there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And what's that name, y'all? It's Jesus. And it says, if God knew that Jesus really did not have to die, then why would he send him to the cross? God doesn't make mistakes. Can you hear me? God does not make mistakes. And his wisdom is always sound if he says that we can only come to him through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, then that is the only way there will ever be for us. You got to know Jesus before you can claim to know the Lord God. Father God wants us to all be a family together through the blood of his mighty, awesome Son and our Savior who gave his life for his brothers and sisters. As God asked Cain in Genesis 4, what did he say? Where's your brother? He said, am I my brother's keeper? Well, I tell you this, yes, you are, just as Jesus is our brother and our keeper and our Savior and our friend and our Lord. Hallelujah. We are blessed beyond measure. And as we go on, Acts 4:1, when they perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. Real success is never about your own intelligence, education, beauty, or talent. Rather, it is about the Lord Jesus Christ shining through you. Spend time with him in prayer and in God's word, and obey him wholeheartedly. That is when he is able to do the most amazing things through you. Hallelujah. We are children of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We got to have that in our spirit and know who we are and who we belong to. You know, as we continue, as I get finished with the overview of yesterday's word, Acts 4:19, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. We are always to respect authority, even when it is wrong. But if some authority tells us to disobey God, we are to disobey that authority. And for Jesus' sake, accept whatever punishment it melts out. We got to trust God. You know, the word that God gave me today, you know, I just thought about it, was we ought to obey God rather than men. You know, it's so easy to follow the crowd, to follow whoever is the, you know, where he's the head dog in charge. Well, I tell you what, if the head dog in charge is taking you over a cliff, you don't run behind him to go over the cliff with him. You say, oh, sorry, I'm going that way. I'm not going over that cliff. I'm not doing that. I'm not going to follow after this evilness and this evil man or this evil woman. Jezebel was a woman, and she was just as powerful as Ahab, but she was evil and wretched, just like he was evil and wretched. So you're going to follow the evil and the wretched across, as they say, go over the cliff, as my mom used to say. Just because they say jump in the river, you're going to jump in the river too. When you're going to drown, and they're going to drown. So you're going to drown with them because you're following after the crowd. My mother used to say that, don't go out and follow after the crowd. We don't have to follow after men. We ought to what? Serve God. We ought to obey God rather than men. If what a man is saying to do is not of God, don't do it. I don't care what we got to do. No. If God tells you not to do it, then don't do it. A lot of people get bitten out of shape about folks that don't want to get vaccinated. That's between them and God. Because when God, if God decides to call them home because of a vaccination, that's, again, between them and God. But all I know is before I got vaccinated, and yes, this minister got vaccinated, because I'm not worried about myself as much as worried about other people. I don't want to make anybody else sick or die because I get the virus, because I didn't take precautions. But I say this, I took the vaccination, prayed, way before I did it. I didn't take it in the first or the second wave. I took it when God said take it. And I prayed before I took it. I prayed after I took it. And it just so happened that the days that I took it were days that I had to go to church and go to work. I took the vaccine on that Sunday, the first one on Sunday, February the 21st, and went to church, prayed, and had a fantastic day filled with the Lord. Next time I had to take it was in March. Again, I prayed before I took it, prayed after I took it, and went to church and had a great time in the Lord. So you've got to do what God says do, but you do it when God says do it. When God tells you, if you are, pray about it. Don't just go and say, oh, I'm just going to go. No, you pray about it. And the shot that you're supposed to have is the shot you would get. Because the shot that I got, the vaccine I got, was the ones that the doctors and the nurses were taking. And I'm grateful. I had not one pain in my shoulder. I had not one sick day. I have felt the best in the last year than I have ever felt in a lot of years. Not one issue. Not one time having to go to my allergist. Best year ever as far as having illness with breathing because of the mask. Don't let people get you off your square. If God tells you to wear a mask too. You know, I'm tired of men trying to tell people how to live. We got to live as God tells us to live. But don't listen to the fake G, that little G telling you all kind of crazy. You know, don't do that. Listen to God, his voice. You will know because you are his. And know who you are. You are sons and daughters of God. You are from a royal priesthood because you were grafted in when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And those were the life lessons for yesterday. So let's get in our word for today. We are in 1 Chronicles chapter 5 and chapter 6. And again, it's some begot. So just, but it's also got some great word in it as well. So let's start with Reuben. It says, now the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, he was indeed the firstborn, but because he defiled his father's bed, his birthright was given to the sons of Joseph, the son of Israel, so that the genealogy is not listed according to the birthright. Yet Judah prevailed over his brothers, and from him came a ruler. Although the birthright was Joseph's, the sons of Reuben, the firstborn of Israel, was Hanok, Pulu, Arpalu, Hezron, Carmi. The sons of Joel were Shemaiah, his son Gog, his son Shammai, his son Micah, his son Raiah, his son Baal, his son Berah, his son whom Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, carried into captivity. He was leader of the Reubenites and his brethren by their families. When the genealogy of their generations was registered, the chief Jael and Zechariah and Bela, the sons of Ahaz, the son of Shema, the son of Joel, who dwelt in Ora, as far as Nebo and Baal, Meon, eastward, they settled as far as the entrance to the wilderness, this side of the river Euphrates, because their cattle had multiplied in the land of Gilead. Now the days of Saul, they made war with the Hagarites, who fell by their hand, and they dwelt in their tents throughout the entire area east of Gilead. And the children of Gad dwelt next to them in the land of Bashan. As far as Selkah, Joel was the chief of Shepham. The next then, Janai and Shephat and Bashan and their brethren of their father's house, Michael, Meshullam, Sheba, Juriel, Jachin, Zia, and Eber, seven in all. These were the children of Abihail, the son of Hori, the son of Joresh, the son of Gilead, the son of Michael, Jeshai, the son of Jado, the son of Buz, Ai, the son of Abadil, the son of Guni, the chief of their father's house. And the Gedites dwell in Gilead and Bashan and live in its villages and in all its common lands of Sharon within their borders. All these were registered by the genealogists in the days of Jotham, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, king of Israel. The sons of Reuben, the Gadites, the half-tribe of Manasseh, had 44,760 valiant men able to bear shield and sword, to shoot with a bow, and skillful in war, who went to war. They made war with the Hagarites, Jetur, Naphash, and Nodab, and they were helped against them, and the Hagarites were delivered into the hand, and all who were with them, for they cried out to God in the battle. He heard their prayer, because they put their trust in him. Then they took away their livestock, 50,000 of their camels, 250,000 of their sheep, 2,000 of their donkeys, also 100,000 of their men. For many fell dead because the war was God's, and they dwelt in their place until the captivity. Again, we can't please man, but we can please God when we do what thus says the Lord. So the children of the half-tribe of Manasseh in the land, their numbers increased from Bashan to Baal, Hermon, that is, to Sinar, to Mount Hermon. These were the heads of their fathers' houses, Epher, Ishai, Ariel, Ezrael, Jeremiah, Hodaviah, and Jidal. They were mighty men of valor, famous men, and heads of their fathers' houses. And they were unfaithful to the God of their fathers, and played the harlot after the gods of the people of the land, whom God had destroyed before them. So the God of Israel stirred up the spirit of Pul, king of Assyria, that is, Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria. He carried the Reubenites, the Gittites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh into captivity. He took them to Hera, and the river of Gozan to this day. You know, we talked about the 10 missing tribes of Israel. The word of God is telling you where they went. Just follow the word, and you'll find the descendants of the 10 tribes. You know, I was watching a story on History Channel, and it went through a whole lot of stuff I just personally, when I prayed about it, all I heard was, some of this is not true. This is man, not me. And so I just watched. But I know that what God says is what God says. And you can't trace what you don't know. Because God says, I got this. And I told you where these people went. And if you go in any place other than where I said, because you don't like the politics of that land, that's not my problem. I know where I put my children. And I will be the one to call them home. So quit trying to find them. Because understand, they are not where you think. Because with so many things that have happened over the centuries and misplacing of people where they don't belong, taking away identities of people that they do not know who they are, we don't know anything. That's why we trust in God. He says the sons of Levi were Gershom, Korath, Merari. The sons of Kohath were Amram, Izhar, Hebron, Uzziel. The children of Amram were Aaron, Moses, Miriam, and the sons of Aaron were Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Itamar. Eleazar begot Phinehas, and Phinehas begot Abishai. Abishai begot Buki, and Buki begot Uzai begot Zerariah, and Zerariah begot Meriot. Meriot begot Amara, and Amara begot Atab. Atab begot Zadok, and Zadok begot Amias. Amias begot Azirah, and Azirah begot Jenin. Jenin begot Azirah, and it was he who ministered as priest to the temple that Solomon built in Jerusalem. Azirah begot Amari. And Amari begot Atab. Atab begot Zadok. And Zadok begot Shalom. Shalom begot Hilkanai. And Hilkanai begot Azirah. Azirah begot Shirah. And Shirah begot Jehozadak. And Jehozadak went into captivity with the Lord when the Lord carried Judah and Jerusalem into captivity by the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. The sons of Levi were Gershon, Korath, Merari. These are the names of the sons of Gershon, Libni, and Shimei. The sons of Korath were Amram, Izhar, Hebron, Uzziel. The sons of Merari were Mahali, Mishai, Mishi. Now these are the families of the Levites according to their fathers. O Gershon of Gershon were Libni, his son Jotham, his son Zamar, his son Jonah, his son Edo, his son Zerah, the sons of Jethuel, his sons were Korath, were Abinadab, the son of Korah, his son Asher, his son Elkanah, his son Abishaph, Asaph, his son Asir, his son Tilath, the sons of Uriel, his son Uzziah, the son and Shob, his son, the sons of Ekani were Amasai, Ahmad, as for Ekaniah. The sons of Ekaniah were Zephi, his son Nephath, and Elab, the son of Joram, his sons, and Ekaniah's sons. The sons of Samuel were Joel, the firstborn, and Abishai, the second. The sons of Mari were Mihael, Libnai, the sons of Shammai, the Uzziah, his son Shammaiah, his son Haggai, his son, and Ashai's son. Now these, and I'm sorry if I butchered some of those names, please forgive your host. Says, now these are the men whom David appointed over the service of song in the house of the Lord. After the ark, they were ministering with music before the dwelling place of the tabernacle meeting until Solomon had built the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. And they served in their office according to their order. And these are the ones who ministered with their sons. Of the sons of the Korahites were Heman, the singer, son of Joel, the son of Samuel, the son of Ekani, the son of Joram, the son of Eli, the son of Torah, the son of Zeph, the son of Echanai, the son of Nathan, the son of Amasai, the son of Elkanai, the son of Joel, the son of Ezra, the son of Zephaniah, the son of Tehath, the son of Eshar, the son of Asaphat, the son of Korah, the son of Ahar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, the son of Israel, and his brother Asaph, who stood at his right hand, was Asaph, the son of Berachai, the son of Shema, the son of Michael, the son of Meshaddai, the son of Melchaniah, Jaya, the son of Ithnai, the son of Zerah, the son of Abadai, the son of Ethan, the son of Zimai, the son of Shemai, the son of Jason, Jahath, the son of Gershon, the son of Levi. Sons of Mari on the left hand were Ethan, the son of Kish, the son of Abdi, the son of Milik, the son of Heshbai, the son of Amazai, the son of Hekani, the son of Emzi, the son of Benai, the son of Shemar, the son of Halai, the Malai, the son of Mishi, the son of Mari, the sons of Levi, and the brethren of the Levites were appointed to every kind of service of the tabernacle of the house of God. But Aaron and his sons offered sacrifices on the altar, burnt offerings, and on the altar of incense for the work of the Most High, placed and to make atonement for Israel's according to all that Moses, the servant of God, had commanded. Now these are the sons of Aaron: Eleazar his son, Phinehas his son, Abishai his son, Bichri the son of Uzai his son, Zechariah the son, Meronoth the son, Amari the son, Etub his son, Zadok his son, and Amaz his son. Now these are their dwelling places throughout their settlements in their territory, for they were given by lot to the sons of Aaron of the family of the Korahites. They gave them Hebron in the land of Judah with its surrounding common lands, but the fields of the city and its villages they gave to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. To the sons of Aaron they gave one of the cities of refuge, Hebron, also Lebanon, with its common land, Jetar, Esther, Moab, with its common lands, Hedlin, with its common lands, Debir, with its common lands, Ashai, with its common lands, and Beth Shemesh, with its common lands, and from the tribe of Benjamin, Geba, and its common lands, Elamet, with its common lands, and Ethot, with its common lands. All their cities among their families were 13. To the rest of the family of the tribe of the Korahites, they gave but Lot 10 cities from half tribe of Manasseh, and to the sons of Gershon. Throughout their families, they gave 13 cities from the tribe of Issachar, from the tribe of Asher, from the tribe of Naphtali, from the tribe of Manasseh in Bashan, to the sons of Mari. Throughout their families, they gave 12 cities from the tribe of Reuben, from the tribe of Gad, and from the tribe of Zebulun. So the children of Israel gave these cities with their common lands to the Israelites, and they gave by lot from the tribe of the children of Judah, from the tribe of the children of Simeon, and from the tribe of the children of Benjamin, these cities which are called by their names. Now some of the families of the sons of Korah, who have given cities and their territory from the tribe of Ephraim, they gave them one of the Sheshem, its common lands in the mountains of Ephraim, also Gezer with its common lands, Jekamim with its common land, both Haran with its common land, Azalon with its common lands, and Gath Rimmon with its common lands. And from the half tribe of Manasseh, Aner with its common lands, and Belim with its common lands, the rest of the family of the sons of Korah. From the family of the half-tribe of Manasseh, the sons of Gershon were given Golan in Bashan with its common lands, and Ashtaroth with its common lands, and from the tribe of Issachar, Kedesh with its common lands, Dabereth with its common lands, Ramoth with its common lands, Anim with its common lands, and from the tribe of Asher, Meshai with its common lands, Abdon with its common land, Hukok with its common lands, Rehob with its common lands, and from the tribe of Naphtali, Kedesh in Galilee with its common lands, Hamath with its common lands, and from Kiriath with its common lands. Tribe of Zebulun, the rest of the children of Mari were given Ramoth with its common land, Tabar with its common lands, and all the other sides of Jordan across from Jericho on the east side of the Jordan. They were given from the tribe of Reuben, Bizar, in the wilderness with its common lands, Jazaz with its common lands, Kedemoth with its common lands, and Mephaath with its common lands, and from the tribe of Gad, Ramoth in Gilead with its common lands, Manahim with its common lands, Hezbollah with its common lands, and Jadar with its common lands. Whew. Everybody was given what they were supposed to have from God. Again, we got to listen to God, not man, but God. And as we continue in our Psalms, it's Psalms chapter 77, verses 1 through chief musician to Jeduthun, a psalm of Asaph. I cried out to God with my voice, to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. My soul refused to be confident. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. And it just says it's a life lesson from chapter 19. For Proverbs 19 and 11, which we're about to read. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook transgression. And we're going to read that right now. Luxury is not fitting for a fool, much less for a servant to rule over princesses. The discretion of a man makes him slow to anger, and his glory is to overlook a transgression. The king's wrath is like the roaring of a lion, but his favor is like dew on the grass. Many of us get into real trouble in our relationships because we insist on being right. And that's what Dr. Stanley says from chapter 19, verse 11. We demand that everyone see things our way. And because we refuse to overlook a transgression, we end up alienating our friends and family. We ought to follow God. And this is what our word for today from Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 21. And it says, but a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also being aware of it and brought it a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, all he had to say was, I'm not going to give you everything, but this is what I can give. But instead, he made it look like, because, again, they had resources. So it made it look like they were giving, you know, I'm giving a whole lot to God when they were not. So let's keep going, because this is a good word. And it says this, but Peter said to Ananias, sealed your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself. While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was so, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all, not some, but all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. That was about 3 hours later, when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me, whether you sold the land for so much? She said, yes, for so much. And Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately She fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And the young men came in, found her dead, and carried her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon the church, upon all who heard these things. And though the hand of the apostles, many signs and wonders, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. They were all with one accord on Solomon's porch, yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord's multitude of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Now, come on now. You know you got it going on when God allows your shadow to heal. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Then the high priest rose up and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees. And they were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in common prison. But at night, come on, y'all, say at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. And we're going to continue and finish up this act word today because it is just so good. He who keeps the commandment keeps all of it. Let me get back to my right word. So they had them brought out. And understand it, these guys are magnificent. That's all I can say. And we're going to keep it in. It says, and when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported saying, indeed, we found the prison shut securely. And the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside. Now, when the high priest, the captain of the temple, and the chief priest heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came and told them, saying, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple, and they're teaching the people. Now, I put Peter and John in prison, and how did they get out to be back up here on Solomon's porch preaching again? So let's keep it moving. It said, then the captain went with the officers without violence, for they feared the people lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them and set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. You know what? My pastor says all the time, if the shoe fits, wear it. You are the reason he was dead. You are. You and your boys, the Pharisees, got together and decided y'all was going to crucify this man. But it was a fulfillment of prophecy. It's too late to worry about it now. He's already dead, buried, and rose again. And now it's already in heaven. All you got to do is follow God. And this is our word for this morning. But Peter said to the other apostles, answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Say it with me, y'all. We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are the witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were fierce and plotted to kill them. Then one in the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. And he said to them, men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Thaddeus rose up, claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this man, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. You can't box with God. And as we go on, it says in verse 40, and they agree with him. And when they called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. So they did depart from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as Christ. They followed God instead of man. Even though they got beat, it didn't matter, because Jesus suffered so much more. Hallelujah. For our sins. And this is some life lessons for chapter 5 of the book of Acts. And it just says this, Acts 5:11. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things. The fear of God purifies the church and puts it in a reverent frame of mind that encourages God to do amazing things through it. When we fear God, the fear of man will never dissuade us from doing God's will. I know folks get mad at different places that we're not open on Sunday. Why? Because they believe in God. We're not doing that. Why? Because we believe in God. We got to do what thus says the Lord. And in Acts chapter 5, verse 20, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. God did not break the disciples out of prison so they could escape to safety. He freed them out so that they could go right back to where and what they had been doing. God wants his words of life to go forth. And our last few things are this. Acts chapter 38, chapter 5, verses 38 through 39. If this is a man, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, we cannot overthrow it. Just you, God, lest you fight against God. And we know there's a lot more word to that, but that was what Dr. Stanley pulled out. And it says, Gamaliel, great wisdom was founded in the principle that whatever is done outside of God's will cannot last. However, whatever God does is eternal. God's great plans will never fall. So obey whatever he tells you to do. If God says move, move. If God says stay, stay. If God says go to the left, go to the left. If he says go to the right, go to the right. Whatever the voice of God tells you to do, it's what you have to do. And as we continued in 5:41, they departed rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Because remember, they got beat down. You know, they beat them up, you know, and then sent them on their way, and they came right on back to Solomon's porch and preached the gospel. Men of God. What a word. And then as we go to 5:41, I'm going to go down to the actual verse. And it says, so they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And Dr. Stanley says this, our culture looks at shame as an almost entirely negative thing, but the Bible consistently recognizes the shame of being identified with Christ as one of the greatest possible blessings. So I say this morning, family, you are blessed beyond measure. The only thing you must do is follow God instead of man. But God is wisdom and God is choice. He loves us more than you can imagine. And more than anything, he cares about you and he cares about me. So as we go to our some words from from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. You know, I just can't help but say, what a word. And this morning, we're going to go over yesterday's word as well as today. And yesterday's word, you know, it touched my heart. It put a pep in my step and a praise on my lips because it's my scripture. I call it my scripture. Ministry was built and blood was shed. This scripture has been cried over many times as I go through. This is where I go to give myself that extra boost of strength to get through. And it is Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. 5 also, verses 5 and verses 9 are my go-tos. And it says, have I not, say with me, this is from God speaking to you, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Joshua 1:9. And she told us to have a blessed Sunday, and I sure did. After reading her word, it was a blessed Sunday. I'm grateful, thankful, and truly blessed to have a wonderful 96-year-old father-in-law still clothed in his right mind. And as we continue for the word from our sister in Christ this morning, good morning, your time is coming. I don't know who this is for, but let me tell you, this is a prophetic word. I felt it when I read it this morning. This is a prophetic word from our sister in Christ. You know, God will speak to a prophet, to a psalmist, and he will give a word. All you have to do is listen. And her word this morning, I just feel in my spirit, is a prophetic word. And it could be for me, it could be for you, it could be for someone that is listening. So take this down. Good morning. Your time is coming. It's going to happen for you. So many breakthroughs, so many blessings. Keep believing. Keep praying. And watch your life change for the better. Have a motivated Monday, family. This is all I have for today. We have about 7 minutes left. If there's anyone that has a word that would like to speak, push the number 1 on your phone. If not, let's pray out. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other in the precious and the holy name of our matchless Savior Christ Jesus. I lift you up. I lift up your families. I just lift up this planet knowing that my daddy God is in charge, not man, but God. In his name I pray, thanking you, asking him to watch over you and bless you. And I say to you this morning, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day in the Lord. And remember, as you go through your day, listen for the voice of God. For we ought to obey God rather than men. Men can take you astray, but God will always keep you on the straight and narrow. But he is going to be with you, guiding you and loving you, because he's that kind of God. Have a blessed day, family. As we say on Moving Forward, it is a wrap. Have a great day and come back and join me tomorrow in the Old Testament as we continue with I'll Be Got. Have a great day and be blessed. It's a wrap.